No one like you, Lord. Ah, I like that. The only... Oh, I didn't know my mic was on. Praise God. Man, thank y'all. Can we give it up again? That was a beautiful song. True story. Last night, after we got done fellowshipping, and I was smacking some heads in ping pong, and then that one young guy, I think he took it easy on me because he came back and beat me, but we'll settle the tie tonight after Sabbath. But after that, I was heading back to my cabin, and I heard this music. I was like, what is that? I was like, is somebody having like their own special worship jam? Because they're not going to leave me out, you know? And so I was going that way, and I just found my legs going this way. And I'm trying to go to my cabin because it's 11 o'clock, and I want to talk to my wife, but my body was like going this way. And I feel kind of bad. I feel like a creeper, you know, because I like creep behind the building. And they were there rehearsing their song, and I found myself singing, no one like you, Lord. Then I recognized, like, it's rehearsal. And so I enjoyed the session last night. Y'all don't even know. See, y'all was blessing me, and you didn't even know. And then we enjoyed it again today. But I'm excited. Real quick, Elena, my sister, Marty, what's up? So good to see y'all. Praise God. 7 months. Praise God, man. So y'all got what I got. Like, no keeping score. Marty, you just keep out-loving her. Elena, you just keep out-loving Marty, okay? And then everything would be okay. 7 years, 7 months for you all. Me and my wife, 3 days ago. For me and my wife, it's been 7 years and 4 days. We've been married for 7 years, so feeling pretty good about that. Me and my wife got to celebrate our anniversary the day before I took flight to head to Australia. So again, she sends her love, and her and my daughter are a bit bumping heads. I have my wife's this like crazy bouquet of like exotic flowers delivered to her job. And so yesterday she brought the flowers home. So mommy was like, ooh, my daughter was like, ooh, mommy, those flowers are so pretty. Whose are those? She was like, they're for me. She's like, who got them for you, mommy? She said, daddy. She said, daddy? she's 4. So she was like, where are my, that is not fair. So she throws this whole, so I gotta like present her with a whole bouquet of flowers when I get back, because she was not happy. So when I talked to her today, I was like, honey, did you like mommy's flowers? No. I was like, mommy's flowers aren't pretty? No. I said, do you want daddy to get you some flowers? Yes. I said, okay, I'll see what it is. But my wife and daughter, they say hello. I'm excited to preach this word. I know y'all are really hot. In all reality, I'm actually going to do 2 sermons in 1. I really need about 1 hour and 15 minutes of your time. But I believe that I can give you this message in about 20 minutes. Do you believe that? Yeah. All right. Now, look. Now, if y'all not with me, and if I'm up here preaching, and I don't hear no amens or that's good or nothing, then you know what I'm saying? I don't know how long. But if you affirm the word of God, we can get y'all out of here. Let's pray. Hey. Now we talking. Hey, and we got to do something before I preach the word. Look, y'all, now last night we told you, Converge 2017 is the hashtag. I went on Instagram today, and I put in hashtag Converge 2017. There's obviously some conference that's taking place in Canada. They dominate Converge hashtag 2017, and their stuff isn't even half as anointed as ours. And so I'm looking at, like, what is this church doing in Canada that's like, listen, the only 2 posts I saw with Converge 2017 came from me. So I don't know what pictures you're taking, what fellowship you're having, what screenshots, you know, but let's make sure we share what's happening here with the world, because I believe 2018, we're going even higher, amen? So hashtag Converge 2017. Let's pray. Father in heaven, speak to us. Show us how to move out of the way so that we don't have to forsake ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So I entitled today's message, and I was going to do some book giveaways. I almost forgot. All right, come on, Ebony, real quick. Y'all put your hands together for Ebony, my assistant. This is like my wife's sister. They're super close. I want to give 2 books away real quick. And if you'll get a book now, and if you want to swap it for a shirt later, you can swap it for some of the ministry shirts. But I want somebody from this side and then someone from this side, just a volunteer that heard the word of God last night that wants to come and maybe answer one or two questions so you can get a free book. And I just want to know, like, you got to just, like, jump up real quick and just let me know. Boom, one right here, and we got one over here somewhere. I'm surveying the land. I can't see anybody. Nobody received nothing last night, so I need to preach for, like, an hour and a half to make sure you get something. All right, that's good. Anybody? Boom. All right, come on up. Put your hands together. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. He's already making dibs. Well, you got to answer the question first, my brother. All right. All right. So give us just something that you got from the word last night and what that meant to you. A microphone? I mean, we could get, like, really close.
Yep, sure.
But you can just use this mic here.
Just breaking free and moving past the hurt and the pain and the suffering. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really got that out of that last night.
Okay, amen. All right, come on, come on, come on, come on. All right, which one? All right, boom, there you go. Okay, and your name?
Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen. Okay, so give us, you know, something that you got from the word of God last night.
Yeah, well, I was kind of dwelling on it this morning, and I was talking to God about it, and I sort of realized that my behavior in loving others, a lot of the time I'm kind of faking it. Mm. You know how you do, kind of like, oh, you know, happy Sabbath, or kind of like, how are you going? But you don't really care that much, you know? Mm. And I was really challenged by that, and I was like, God, please help me to, like, love others with my heart rather than with my behavior. So
Wow. Amen. High five. Praise God. All right. That's a 30-day devotional, Power Apps. You'll love that. Thank you. All right. Good job. All right. So I'm holding two microphones. Why am I holding two microphones? Okay. All right. So, I entitled today's message, Why Have I Forsaken Me? Now, I'm sure you all know the classic phrase when Jesus was on the cross. You know, the whole time, whenever you look in the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, whenever Jesus referenced God, he always referenced God as being like this loving father. But now that he's on the cross, after he's been whipped and after he's been beaten and after he's had nails driven through his hands and he's hungering, he's been spit upon and he's been flogged, the crown of thorns is on his forehead and is scraped all the way to his skull and he's covered in blood and he's nailed now to this rugged, nasty, dirty cross in between two other sinners who should have been there, but Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, is here on the cross and he's free and he hits God above with that classic phrase. But he didn't say Heavenly Father. He doesn't call him friend. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All these other times in the Bible, Jesus has always referenced God, the Father, as like his Father, like my loving Father. But now, when it's dark and it's heavy and he's going through the pain and torment, now he begins to look at God as an authoritative figure. And he's nailed to this cross for you and me. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now we know the reality is God didn't forsake Jesus. This was like a plan, like they in the heavenly courts of heaven, they were in agreement. They said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to send you to die for humanity so that salvation is possible for them. Like, this was no surprise, but because of what he was dealing with, it was so heavy and he could not feel the presence of God because of our sins was so heavy on him. He began to feel like he was abandoned. Have you ever felt abandoned by God? Have you ever felt just tired? Have you ever felt like, man, God, why are you forsaking me? This is for those of you where you go through hard times, you go through frustrating times, but you just feel like, man, God, like, why would you put me in this position? It's okay for you to ask those type of questions. You know, it's okay for you to say, man, God, this hurts. I don't understand it. Like, it's okay to wrestle with God. It is okay to struggle with God. That's why I think what was so beautiful about the presentation that Elena and Martin gave this morning is we were able to really look at the Word of God and kind of see where they were missing the mark. And we begin to recognize we are God's chosen people, a royal priesthood. We don't always feel like that because the reality is sometimes we feel really far and distant from God. I don't know about you, but I've often started asking God myself, like, man, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the reality is God hasn't forsaken me. The reality is we all go through hard times, like Luke 9:23. He says, if you're truly a disciple, you'll deny yourself, You know, pick up your cross daily and follow me. What do you mean, pick up my cross daily? Christ has his own way of letting us know over and over and over again, I need you to carry crosses. You will go through hard times. That's why the Bible says in the last days, we're going to go through testing trials and hard times. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Like, Jesus doesn't sugarcoat anything. Like, we know, amen, that we're supposed to go through hard times. The question is, some of the stuff that we're going through, was that caused by God or was that caused by man? Like, watch this. So I entitled this message, my God, why have I forsaken me? I'll never forget, about 4 or 5 months ago, I got a conversation. I had a conversation with a young lady. She emailed me from South Africa. I've been doing a lot of work in South Africa. I was there 3 times last year, and God was just doing some crazy work with the Next Level Living Ministry. Like, that thing has just exploded all over Johannesburg and Cape Town. And so to my brother from Cape Town, from South Africa, that's here in Australia, the newly converted Christian, man, God bless you, bro. I'm inspired by your testimony. But she sent me an email, and she was like, oh, Pastor Jay, he broke my heart. I'm thinking about committing suicide. Let me tell you something. When I get emails like that, I get a lot of emails. Some of them I click, like, unread, and I'll go back to it later, because if I don't open it, it serves as a reminder. That one I knew to respond to right away. So I began to read her email, and she's like, this guy broke up with me. We were engaged for a few months. He broke my heart. Why would God do this to me? So my first question was, did God do this to you? I'm like, think about it, like, are you sure God, like, told you to get with him in the first place? So I emailed her back. I said, well, dear sister, for one, I come against the spirit of depression and suicide. You will live. You will not die. God, I gave her, like, a whole empowerment paragraph to let her, like, get over that whole thoughts of suicide. But then I said, you know, and I'm sorry what you're going through. I said, but you have to ask yourself a question. You're blaming God for this guy breaking your heart. Did God tell you to get with him in the first place? She emailed me back and she was like, you know, Pastor Jay, I never really thought about it like that. I guess this never was God's will. And I began to think, how often do we do that? How often do we go through hard times, testing trials, and then when things don't work out how we want it to work out, we blame it on God? And God the whole time is like, why am I the scapegoat for all the bad decisions you made? I already went to the cross for your sins. Why are you blaming me now for the, excuse my friends, the dumb stuff that you're doing? And you find this in the Bible. When you look at the children of Israel, oh man, I mean, come on now, years and years and years, hundreds of years of slavery. And what did God do? God rose up a mighty man in Moses, and Moses came and set the people free. Let my people go. They split the Red Sea, 1 million+ people march across, now they free. And God is like, man, I've got so much for y'all. I've got this promised land over here. I want you to go take this territory. He sends these 12 spies over there. 2 come back with a good report. 10 come back with a negative report. And they're actually about to stone Joshua and Caleb, the young guys. They came back with a good report. Harden your heart. And guess what happened? God is like, because of your attitude, because of that spirit within you, because you chose to listen to the enemy as opposed to the promises I have given you, I'm going to allow you to be in the wilderness for the next 40 years. Anyone above the age of 20 that hardened their heart toward me will have to die off before you make it to the kingdom, before you make it to this promised land. And I'm just thinking, like, this is like God wanted so much for his people, but they chose otherwise. I mean, this thing is crazy. Moses is up on the mountain, and Jesus is there, write the tablet with the hand, writing the 10 Commandments. He comes off a short journey, and they done melted all the gold. They're worshiping Baal. It just blows my mind that we are just like them. They are us in 2017. We know better. God delivers us, and God comes through in the clutch, but then we find ourselves in positions to where we're in the same place fighting those same gods. What gods? You might not be worshiping Baal, but some of you struggle. You've been worshiping social media. You've been worshiping your spouse. Some of you are in relationships that's just not God's will. Like, I know she's cute. She's really cute. I know it. like her, the way the sun just hits off her hair, it's just, she just feels like, she looked like she's from heaven, but she's not. Let me tell you something. The enemy can package, man, the enemy can package some distractions in really nice, cute packages. But it's not from God. You're in a relationship with this guy, and he's so cute, and you just love the way, you know, he wears that T-shirt, and he's got broad shoulders, and he's got long hair, and he's a surfer, and he's just so, but he is not of God. And God has told you to leave that relationship, but because he's cute and because of how he makes you feel, you chose him over God. And then when you get your heart broke, you'll be blaming God. You'll be saying, God, why did you make this happen to me? And God is saying, oh, my dear child, I never wanted you to be in that position. I never wanted your heart broke. I never wanted my children to worship Baal, but I wasn't moving fast enough. They didn't like the food I was giving them. They wanted all these rich things. They wanted a king, so I gave them what they wanted. Years and years and years of torment and pain and slavery. Why? Listen to me. Samson was not supposed to end up with his eyes gouged out in front of the Philistines like that. Like, there were other ways that God could have taken care of his people. But Samson chose to sleep with every cute thing that came his way. Samson chose to get drunk. Samson chose to live that lifestyle. The choices we make are the things that set us back. It's like if you watch a sports game and you get, there's this thing called unforced errors. You know, it's like you do these penalties, and these penalties, because you were offsides, or you started too soon, or you ran out of bounds, these penalties end up hurting your team. You should be stopping the other team from scoring, but you're causing penalties, unforced errors, and those are some of the things that can stop you from winning the game of life. So we already have a certain dose of struggles and tests and trials that God trusts us to go through. But then what we do is we want to do things our way as opposed to Yahweh's, and then we find ourselves in a really messed up situation, and we're blaming God for it. And God was like, my child, this was never my will for you. Let me bring you to a point of reference that I want to share with you. And then we're gonna wrap this part of the segment up. I want to talk for a few moments, the next 5 or 7 minutes, about the story of Gideon. I think that the way the story of Gideon begins in Judges chapter 6 is actually quite interesting. I want to start, I'm going to start in one place, and then I'm going to rewind back because I want to help you kind of understand what I'm sharing with you this morning, afternoon. Judges chapter 6, I'm going to read to you verse 12. The word of God says, okay, so you've got the children of Israel here. And they're being attacked by the Amalekites and the Midianites because the children of Israel wanted to do things their way. And so Judges chapter 6, verse 12, the word of God says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, Gideon's about to snap. He's like, oh, you're an angel? Oh, you're from God. Oh, okay. Pardon me, my Lord. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us, says Gideon, and given us to the hand of Midian. Now, I think that's interesting. The angel has heard the cry. God has heard the cry of his people. And so God sends an angel, and he's like, go find Gideon, and I basically want you to tell Gideon that I'm about to deliver his people. So the angel does that, and so Gideon's like, God, you're of God? Well, where was God at when we were held captive? Where was God every time the Amalekites and the Midianites come and torture us and take our food and our crops and our women? Where was God then? So look at what it says. Let me tell you why they're in this position. They're children of God. Why are they in this position? Judges chapter 6, verse 1 says, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's eyes. And for 7 years, he gave them to the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and other eastern people invaded their country. The Bible makes it clear in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's eyes. They turned their back on God. And the Bible says that God removed their hand from them and turned them over to Midian. Now, what we know is that God did not actually move them into slavery or captivity. What God did, God said, you want it your way. Okay, so you want to worship all these man-made things as opposed to the God that set you free, the God that made sure that there was no more leather lashes strapping your back, the God that made sure you didn't have to work 16 to 18 hours a day making clay with sharp, like that God, okay, you don't want to worship me anymore? Oh, okay, you want to worship your own gods? So what did God do? God said, hey, because we serve a God that's so amazing, he loves us so much, he's not going to force us. Amen? God's not going to make us serve him. So God's like heartbroken. Listen to me, I can't make my wife love me. If I went back to Atlanta and my wife was like, you know what, honey, I don't want to do this no more. I can't make her love me. All I can do is stay consistent and love her over and over. I told my wife, we were doing a marriage ministry thing, and I told my wife jokingly, but I was kind of serious. I said, honey, I just want you to know something. If you ever leave me, like, and you pack your stuff up, I'm packing my stuff up too, and I'm going wherever you're going. You know what I'm saying? I said, I'm gonna be like, are you leaving me? Okay, where are we going? I said, you better like leave the country or go to another city. Cause if I find you, I'm gonna ring the doorbell like, hey girl, where my room at? You know what I'm saying? I said, but it better be a surprise. I said, you make me act crazy if you want to, but we took a vow till death do us part. You ain't there, I ain't there. We connected. Don't make me act crazy, girl. I will follow you wherever. She is like, would you really? I'm like, yep. But the reality is like we're in covenant together. God is in covenant with his people. And God is like, I love you. I will always love you. I will always be here. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. But I can't force you to love me. And so the people, the children of Israel, the Bible says they turned to wicked ways. They did evil in the Lord's eyes. And so God said, I must remove myself from this situation. If you don't want my impact, fine. But when you cry out to me, I will hear your cry. I wish I had time to go into that 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, who will pray, who will fast and seek my face, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. I'm talking about a God that even when we turn our back, he is still there waiting. I mean, it goes right to the biblical reference in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus talks about the prodigal son. The prodigal son is there. He's with the father, and the father loves him. But eventually, at some point, the prodigal son's like, you know what, God? You know what, Dad? Nah, no thanks. I want my riches now. This thing is corny. I'm trying to get out of here. You know how disrespectful that is? To say, I can't wait for you to die, so just give me everything. And what does the father do? Just like God says, man, is this what you want? All right, well, here you go. And what does he do? He takes it, he swindles it, and he finds himself broken with nothing. But then he comes to his senses. He says, wait a second. Even the servants in my father's home lives better than this. So he goes back, and what happens? The father is there. He sees him afar. He pulls up his tunic and runs to him. I wish I had time to talk about that right there. And he goes to his son, and he wraps his arms around his son. I'm just talking about a God that even when we forsake him, he doesn't forsake us. And when you look at Judges, the word of God makes it clear. They did evil in the Lord's eyes, but the Bible says that God heard their cry. And after 7 years, because sometimes God has to let you go through it. Oh, let me tell you something. God could easily swoop in and change the situation. But sometimes God is like, no, it's only been a few months. If I jump in now, they're not going to learn their lesson. I want to really let this thing burn. I want to really make sure that they don't ever have to deal with this again. And then when in God's timing is right, because Isaiah 55:8-9 says, my ways are his ways, his thoughts are not thoughts. As far as the earth is from heavens, that's how much differently God thinks in us, because we don't understand it. God's plan is perfect. He knows exactly what you can take, exactly how much pressure. It's like we're a bunch of like muffins or cakes or like pies. God knows exactly how long to keep us in the oven. He knows exactly what temperature to turn us up. Some of us are like pound cakes. I think I'm like a pound cake. You know what I'm saying? Like some things I go through, I got to be in the oven for like 45 minutes, cooked really, really low. You know, some of you might be another type of pie where you're in there for 15 minutes, but you turn the heat up. God knows what's best. So God hears the cry of his people. I'm trying to give it to you quick. God hears the cry of his people. And so he says, watch what I do. Watch how I come through and deliver you. This evening, We're going to pick up on part two of this message. I don't want to rush the word of God. I promise you, I feel like doing two sermons in one. I got so much I want to share, and I've been looking at like the four slots I have, and God is putting so much on my heart, but I want to do justice to the word of God, amen. And I really want to take my time with how you can be set free. If you have made unforced errors, if you have forsaken yourself, I want to just bask in the goodness and the glory of God and just prove to you biblically how God can turn every single situation that you're dealing with around if you surrender it to Him, if you give it to Him. I want to encourage tonight the person, you feel the lowest in your camp, you feel weak, you feel tired, you feel irrelevant. I want to share with you what God can do through you. But before I do that, I have to warn you. We have to look at these unforced errors. We have to look at why are we forsaking ourselves? Why do we choose to do the things we do? You know why? Because we don't really trust God. I mean, think about it. If we really trust God, then we would do exactly what God tells us to do, when He tells us to do it, how He tells us to do it. That's what my blueprint is. People, I'm not like that smart in ministry. I just do exactly what God tells me to do. People are like, so what are you going to do in 2017? I'm like, man, whatever God want me to do. They're like, some of my friends are like, dude, why are you acting so holy with me? Like, lighten up and tell me, what do you want to do? I'm like, you don't get it. It's not what I want to do. Listen to me. I'm 36 years old. You know, God has really blessed my ministry and our family, I mean, abundantly. But I can stand before you and tell you, I don't know what I'm doing. I just take my cues from God. Have you ever like taken a test and don't act holy on me? It's okay. Have you ever like taken a test and you had like the notes there? Y'all never cheated? Oh, in the States, it's bad. And now with smartphones. Anyway, have you ever like taken a test and you like got the answers? It's just like, it's so clean. It's so clear. Like, I don't know if life for me feels sometimes like an open book test. God is just like, if you'll just open my book, I've got all the answers. I can so appreciate what was mentioned earlier. It might not be the King James Version. It might need to be the New Living Translation. It might need to be the ESV or the NIV. Look, I meet some people, they so far from God. They're such babes in Christ. They're like newborns. I'm like, shoot, if you got to get the clear word, you get what you got to get so that you can receive it. That time you have with God in the morning is valuable. Let me share with you what I shared with my group when we had our small group session, which was amazing, by the way. You got to mix this thing up when you have your time with God. When I take my wife out, we don't wear the same thing and we go see the same movie or to the same restaurant. We mix it up. We might go to the park. We might go see an NBA game. We might go to a restaurant. We mix up your time with God in the morning. Some mornings when I wake up, I might just say, I don't even want a devotional. I just want the raw word. Jesus, I just need to hear how you dealt with these Pharisees, because I'm dealing with Pharisees in different countries now. So much is given, much is required. God, you got me traveling some different places, and you got some people more conservative, more liberal. I'm dealing with some drama. How did you deal with them? Some mornings, I need a word from Max Lucado or Francis Chan or Mark Batterson. So I'm like, okay, let me go into a devotional. Some mornings, I don't even feel like reading nothing. I'm so tired. I'm like, God, I want to just worship you, God. Let me just go to iTunes and just put in some elevation worship or some Hillsong or some Bethel. I just want to worship God. Some mornings I'm like, I need a word, God. So let me hear from Craig Rochelle or let me hear from Louis Giglio. Let me watch a couple of sermons. You feel me? Like that time you have with God in the morning, make it personal. Make it real. And then you have to plan for those things in ahead of time. So the night before, I make up in my mind, I have a date with God at 4 a.m. Now, I have some friends of mine that tease me. They're like, Jeremy, 4, that's early. I go to bed at 9 o'clock. It's a lot of awesome shows on TV. But, I mean, God has called me to so much. The last thing I want to do is to get beat by entertainment. And I'm getting all, I mean, now I'm not, like, TV, like, enjoy good sitcoms. I have some classic sitcoms me and my wife love to watch. But because what God has called me to, I just can't spend 3, 4, 5 hours a night watching TV. So I put in the time with my wife and daughter. Me and my wife might enjoy a sitcom. I promise you, by 9 o'clock, I'm asleep. It got to be a really, really special occasion, or my wife wants to have like a spiritually, mentally draining heart-to-heart talk at like 9:30. I'm asleep. And she's like, honey, are you asleep? In my flesh, I'm like, yes. In the spirit, I say no. You know what I'm saying? But she wants to talk. Sometimes I'm up to maybe 10, but I'm cautious of my time. Because at 4 a.m., I got a date with God, and I need that time with Him, because I am weak, and I will die in this Christian journey. And my biggest fear is that I will be irrelevant. My biggest fear is that when I wake up in the morning, the enemy can't wait to attack me, as opposed to me being filled with the Spirit of God. And I know that God will use me to storm the gates of hell and show and bring life to the world. So I need that time with God in the morning, because at 6 o'clock, when my wife wakes up, she wants to talk and pray, and we enjoy a cup of coffee. And my daughter gets up by 7 o'clock. My phone is ringing, texts, emails coming in. I need that time with God. And I am at a place in life now where I need to hear clearly from God. I will mess some stuff up. Let me tell you something. I don't even need the devil to attack me. I told you last year, for those of you that's here, I am my biggest enemy. The devil not that deep. The devil doesn't have that much power. He can only do what God allows him to do. Look at the story of Job. And that's over and over in the Bible. I am my biggest enemy. And the further I am from God, the worse off I am. So my message to you is, don't ask God, why is he forsaking you? You might need to ask you, why are you forsaking yourself? You might need to ask yourself and say, God, how do I move out the way, God? How do I get more in tune with you, God? How do I live a relevant life with you, God? How do I grow to get to that next level? The world is heavy enough. We're going to go through enough pain and torture in the world. The last thing we need to do is to put some more weight on our back. But God is saying, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light, it's easy. I got your back. Let me lift this thing. Don't stress about it. I got your back. Let me be your God. My advice to you is to let him be your God. Father in heaven, we want to learn how to move out the way. God, we don't want to forsake ourselves, Lord. We see from Samson and the prodigal son and the children of Israel for so many years, we see a common pattern, God, of them doing things their way, of them putting other gods before you. And Lord, from that came death and destruction, God. Lord, like David fought all these amazing battles and he got victory after victory, but that one major loss that he got was because of himself. God, he fell victim to lust, God. So many of us are going through such hard times, and it's not that you prescribe something for us, Lord. We go through this stuff because of choices that we made. So I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will make us aware. Forgive us, God, for blaming you for things that you never caused to happen, Lord. Many of us are going through some stuff right now you never intended for us to go through. But the reality is we're just broken people, and we make dumb mistakes, God. And today we say that we're sorry. And God, we need you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can make wise decisions and wise choices. Then there will be times when you will allow us to go through some things. But as your word says, we should not be surprised when fiery trials come our way, Lord. We should expect them, for these are the things that build perseverance and growth and character so that we are not lacking anything. We love you, and we thank you, God, for all you've done for us. Fill us with your Spirit and cool us down on this campground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.